Hey guys, thank you for listening to the Zach Scriven Podcast. The Zach Scriven Podcast is sponsored by Anchor. Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. It gives you everything you need right in one place for free to publish your podcast across Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the podcasting place. You can record, edit, and even add sponsorships and earn money from your podcast. Really easy to get started. Go to anchor.fm or download the Anchor app to get started. And thank you, Anchor, for sponsoring the Zach Scriven Podcast. Thanks for listening.
I'm Scott Taylor. I'm the Data Whisperer. My passion, at least in business, is master data, which is the most important data anybody has.
I'm Zach Scriven, and my passion is being authentically myself, connecting with my audience, traveling the world, creating content on LinkedIn. My family, and then last but not least is serving God with my talents that He's lent me and bringing that true value to the world. So that's why I do what I do.
Love it. Beth Granger, my passion in business is helping people find their voice and find their community. And personally, of course, all the things you said, family and community.
Hi, I'm Mike Smith. My passion is I'm a connector, and my passion is to help amazingly disruptive business ideas come to life by connecting them with people with deep wisdom and experience so that both of them can thrive. And that's what I'm about, and that's what I'm building.
Hi, I'm Jonathan James Kramer. My passion is storytelling, and I know as marketers that's sort of social lubricant now, but I really do. I write fiction, I just published a novel, I've written plays, but even in a work context, I love doing all sorts of content, telling the brand story, telling the company story, and that's about it.
And last but not least, Michael, who I'm going to owe greatly for this. But
what up, Mike Moreno here with Much More Media. So my major passion through that company is turning brands and businesses into their own media empire. And I think we've talked a lot about it today. Content creation is a huge part of that. And all the tech that comes with that, the ability to reach people through video and audio and all sorts of things that are coming in the future through your wall and all that, AR, VR. I'm just super excited to buy the tech side, and I love bringing it out to the world.
So this is the LinkedIn influencer meetup here in the Vessel, New York City. These are my LinkedIn connections. So, Michael, what's up?
Man, hey.
Michael. Beth.
Jonathan.
Kramer.
Kramer.
Scott Taylor. Beth. Okay, sorry, I forgot your name for a second. Because, like, so many names in the last, like, you know, 2 days. LinkedIn Global last night was, it was insane, you know?
He was there, too, yeah.
Yeah. It was really cool. Michael, I thought you were like in UK and Sydney and now New York.
I'm around a bit, but I'm here at the moment.
Here at the moment.
Back out to Sydney soon.
You can see yourself in the reflection of the...
Oh, wow. As I said, I was saying before that I've walked past this many times, but never actually visited it.
So. Yeah.
So on a LinkedIn Live a couple weeks ago, I had my friend Mike Roderick talking about the different types of people at a networking event. And I'm not going to remember the exact categories. I think it was a shark, a dolphin, a drowner, and a swimmer. No, a saver. And the idea is there are some people, you know how they come up to you, they're shoving their business card in your face, and you don't want to talk to them.
Yeah.
And then there are the people that stand in the corner and kind of quiet and are afraid to talk to strangers.
Yeah.
And then you have the savers. That's the person who notices the person in the corner and goes over to them and starts.
So you're finding that you see those same people online?
Everywhere.
Okay. What are you then? You're the saver? You'll go out to someone in the corner and help bring them in? And that's
sometimes
how you found your passion of...
I find different places.
Mike, you want to be a cameraman?
Sure, man.
All right, dude. I'm going to hand this to you. We're recording. So, and then, yeah, I don't know, just... Albert was my cameraman, but you know, he dropped me off. He drove us in.
Okay.
And I was like, parking's going to be insane. We're...
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you fly into New Jersey?
No. We've been driving since August 31st.
So this is literally a road trip. You're not flying, you're driving.
Yeah. You drove from the West Coast.
Yeah. I started on August 31st. We went up the coast to San Francisco, Seattle, Yellowstone, Mount Rushmore, Illinois. We went to Chicago. We went to Milwaukee, Detroit,
So you
New Jersey,
the concept,
New York.
Of, LinkedIn meetup. Is that, did you do those in all those locations?
Yeah. And so like the turnout has been varied from like one person to Milwaukee. We had about 15 people.
Okay.
And we rented a conference room. We actually did more of a workshop.
Oh, okay. Right.
So like this is kind of a little bit more informal. I'm like kind of running on fumes a little bit, you know?
I don't doubt it.
Because from Detroit, we left around noon. We did a meetup there. No one actually showed up. But what I did was out front of Starbucks, I just had my mic and I just interviewed actually anyone who wanted to. A homeless person came and started talking to me. And then another person who was formerly homeless, who actually knew that guy, also came and talked to him. So we had like this off the cuff, like 10 minute interview about like, and I was like, I asked him like, all right, if there was one thing like that you could get, what would that be, right? Like, would it be a job? Would it be an apartment for a month? And he said it was an ID. And it was pretty interesting.
ID was what he wanted.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. So.
Yeah. He wanted identity. Well, it opens the door to stuff, I guess.
Yeah, and so like I.
You get one if you don't have one.
Well, it's $12, yeah. Right? And so the thing is like when he had $12, he would.
That was funny.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't know. I think of it more as a mindset, and so like you can't really motivate someone, like you can lead a horse to water, we can't make him drink, but I was like supportive of him and I wanted to help him, and the other guy who actually knew him was formerly homeless. He found a job through SEO and content writing and kind of in that similar creative space, and so I was like, you know, that's a great example of like, you know, maybe trying to find something that could help you provide value to the world. And so that was, you know, that was Detroit. And then this is like,
how many days have you been driving?
So what is this, the 21st? This is the 20th, so like, yeah, 21 days.
Wow.
And we got another, like, we're going through the end of this September.
Where do you go after here?
So tonight we're driving to Atlanta, and we have an Atlanta meetup tomorrow.
That's the truth.
So this is like the hardest section right here, but luckily Mary and Zoe, they were with us until Chicago, and then they flew to Houston. So they're at, Mary has a grandparent who has a farm out there, and
they're having weather out there.
Yeah, so I've been praying for them. So from Detroit to, you know, New Jersey was like a long drive. We stopped at Niagara right around sunset, so that was like really cool.
God.
So, you know, I'm also using this road trip as an excuse to like not only meet my friends, but also see places I want to see, like the vessel.
Okay.
And then just do my work along the way.
So why this of all places? Why this thing for
it's, like it's artwork, you know?
Yeah.
It's artwork and it's new. Like it's changing, you know, I look back at Casey Neistat's vlogs and you could actually see they were constructing that Jenga building.
Yeah.
So you can actually see like New York City evolve over time, you know?
Yeah, right.
So
have you been on the High Line?
I have walked on the High Line, yeah.
That is a great thing.
So,
that's
I like that that's got more nature attached to it. I think they did. I mean, this is a unique space. But again, as a New Yorker, it's always nice to have more nature tied into the space in which we live. So the High Line does a great job of that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's
I mean, I appreciate the beehive.
It's basically a park in the sky.
It's really cool.
A park that's only like.
And it wasn't developed, right? It was space that New York City wasn't using. So the High Line was an actual subway line that we no longer used.
Yeah.
And it was an elevated line, right? So it's not underground. But now they're even doing an underground version of the High Line, again, on unused subway lines. So I think it's more creative to take space that we no longer use and repurpose it into space that we actually love and adore.
Yeah.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
And this has been developed as opposed to that mode.
That's amazing. And the thing about those types of developments is that when someone initially thought of those ideas, it's absolutely crazy. Like the idea of the High Line, when it was first suggested, would say, you're going to create a park in the sky on an old elevated railway. That's the most craziest thing I've ever heard. And look at it now. It's become like one of the number one tourist attractions in New York City. So it's so grand.
Want to take over?
I
sorry to just throw the camera on you, man. I thought you would like it because, you know, you're the more media, just creating more content for your clients. And, you know, you had me on your podcast, so that was cool. But Michael, so what brought you back to New York?
Work, basically. I really like the work, but my main passion is to connect deep experience and wisdom with early and growth stage companies. That's my thing.
Yeah.
And really the value proposition is that there are so many great disruptive ideas that fail, like especially startups, that they fail. So my idea is if we could help some of these amazingly disruptive ideas in education, in
politics, in healthcare, actually survive and thrive, and at the same time, widen the pie, create more business, and also bring more experienced people in, particularly people north of 45 who are starting to experience ageism. If we can collect them together and leverage their wisdom, wouldn't that be an amazing win-win situation?
I agree.
My passion, something I'm building.
So why did you create the Jeff Larson? Did you see I saw Jeff Larson?
You did. I connected with Jeff. I really loved his stuff. It's a really shame he's now a retired influencer.
Did you do a Zoom video with him?
I did. I was the first one to interview him. And he was such a natural, like, unassuming guy. Like, and you know, he messed up a couple of times and that. But I did a blooper reel, and he was so, like, so, you know, so humble about it. And he was a really amazing guy to work with. And then I got influenced into doing a parody of him because...
I love how you're using my words. So, like, my branding is kind of working. But I did the Jeff Larson parody, and I didn't expect you or Emma to create your own rendition. It was, like, the funniest video. And to this day, that's, like, how I remember you. So your strategy obviously worked, but...
that's remember you. Well, that's right. It was Emma, I think, did it first. Yeah. Maybe you challenged it. I think Emma did it. And I said, I could do this. I literally went and bought a selfie stick from Canal Street, and I went to a street that had a loaded car, and I just shot it. And he was such a great influencer. And I'm so sorry that he's a retired influencer. I think it's what he is. He's not on there. So some great messaging, and from the heart, it really was. So I liked his stuff. But he was pretty prolific as well. Like, he used to.
Yeah, his presence is just really strong. His energy is really awesome, and just to see him in person too. I made the joke. It's like, even when he's not on social media, he's still influencing, because here we are talking about him, and we're like, we care about him as a person, and so we know that while he had to take that time, because, like, Jeff had to do what Jeff has to do, and we're not just, like, bitter about it because we don't get to see his content, although we would love to see it. But, like, we trust that, you know, he's doing the right thing for himself, you know?
He is. Actually, after I saw your piece, I texted him, just had a low, and he texted me back. He sent him a picture of him, I think, at a Twins game of his family, and that was really nice, just to reconnect. So it reminded me to connect with him. So it's great.
Yeah, it takes a lot of discipline to know when you need to draw that line and stuff. So I've experienced struggling with that with myself. And so, you know, you working with people that have never created content, obviously that's not the problem. So once you get them over that cam or that hill, how do you keep them from going off the deep end?
I think the kind of people that I work with, that's not going to happen, because they run businesses or they have a role in...
They actually have a job.
Yeah, so they want to do that just up to the line where it makes sense for them, and then do their actual...
Now, do you recommend they start working, like, at what point do they start working with a video editor or a virtual assistant to help start taking some of that time off? Because I see many people, like, doing... maybe when they're just learning, experimenting, it's important to do it yourself with your phone. But, like, at some point, it makes more sense to focus on your business and, you know, do video, but help have a team behind you.
I kind of think of it as depending on the platform or the type of thing. For instance, if you're doing a live conversation, that should be you, and that could be on your phone. If you're doing something that's going to be on your website or somewhere more...
Bring in a video team.
Right.
You gotta have funds for that too, which means you need to have revenue in your business or some way of doing that, because it costs money. But it's definitely a time thing. But I think a question for you maybe is, like, how have you dealt with this thing? Because I've seen it where, like, it really gets not tiring, maybe tedious, maybe a bit of burnout in creating content. So I took a bit of a break over July, August. I actually did Burning Man. So for 10 days, which is pretty amazing, and it was like a decompression.
And you didn't do any video there?
I actually did, yeah. I haven't done anything with it yet. I just took some video of it. It's an amazing thing.
Mr. Casey Neistat, who was a source of inspiration, you know, the New York City vlogger who we just talked about recently, he went to Burning Man, and he left his camera at home. And he's like, so he kind of almost like Jeff Larson is just kind of just... called it quits, you know, and you know, he posts occasionally. And
one of the most amazing things there is you see 70,000 people there walking around without doing this, talking, because there's no service, there's no cell service, no data service, so people put their phones away, and you maybe bring them out to take a picture, but it's really interesting to see people sitting down on couches, sitting around, not looking at their phone, talking, like it's like a past generation. I mean, Burning Man is really a social experiment, is what it is. So it's part of what it is. So that's pretty amazing. Because you think 70,000 people build a city that lasts for a week, and pretty much there's no incidents.
That's amazing.
Pretty much no incidents. So it's an amazing experience.
When you start to view humans as one organism, then you start not becoming so selfish. You start trying to be, essentially we're like mitochondria, or we're like cells, or we're like neurons inside of a brain, and LinkedIn is the network that connects us. And I want to engage Michael. So what do you got to say, man?
So I'm like totally on board with your idea here. As we're at the vessel, we're talking about basically one organism, which very much bees operate as, right? So whether it's you across the country or other people across the world, you were just talking about Burning Man, coming together and having the ability to have common goals and common interests and see yourself and other people.
Yeah.
I think that ends up making it easier for you, of course, to get along with these other people. You, of course, to have some sort of long-term view and long-term interest in other people's well-being. But also it helps you if you're a content creator or doing in business or anything else, what you're really doing is you're building relationships with other people.
So how do you balance the, the aspect of having video become too consuming or walking around with your phone all the time? Or?
Again, I think, we've just been talking about two very large influencers who have, some bigger than others, stepped away from the content creation scene. And I think, why is that? Well, it's because you're a person and you have other things that are going on in your life, and that's okay. You don't have to be somebody, whether you're new to the game or whether you've been around it for a while, you don't have to be somebody who is constantly generating something. If it's not authentic, then it's not going to work.
I want to meet your friend.
Yeah, I'm not calling you.
What's your name?
Jonathan.
What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, I'm Mike. I just wanted to get out of your shot.
Mike. We're talking about just, being a community and a group, and so
we're a community, right?
So, what's your name?
Jonathan Kramer.
And Scott invited you out here, so.
Yep. I live right across the river, so I thought I'd meet up and see what's going on.
And what do you tell us a little about what you do?
So I work for a company called StoryLift. What we do is we help for-profit schools and other companies find the best candidates. But I just started there a few months ago. I'm VP of marketing, and I'm really excited. It's a new gig for me. I come from the data space like Scott, so it's a little bit of a change, but it's really cool.
And as a marketer, what are some of the platforms? Are you obviously on LinkedIn? And
yes, absolutely. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm reaching out to, it's a new industry for me, so I'm reaching out to a lot of people who are stakeholders in the for-profit university space. So it's been great. So it's, like I said, it's building a new network for the first time in a long time, coming from software as a service, data, that sort of thing. So it's
so change. Obviously, besides building the company's brand, you're obviously building your own brand as well too?
Exactly, yeah. And I've actually didn't use Sales Navigator that much before, but it's been really helpful to me now. So
he's a content creator extraordinaire.
That's right.
He's way too humble.
That's right.
You guys, awesome writer. Do you use influencers to help market your product, or is that not something you're seeing in your industry?
That's something I'm hoping to do, and I'm actually sort of reaching out now, doing it sort of manually, because I didn't really know anyone in the space, but I've met one or two, and so I'm really trying to hopefully co-author some content with them, whether it's a video or an article, that sort of thing. So it's
collaborate.
Slow, yeah, exactly. So that's sort of, I'm a content marketer. That's my background. So, influencers and thought leaders, it's really a huge part of what I do. So, but I'm still working on that. It's early stages. That's definitely going to be a key part of my success.
Awesome.
And the company's success.
Man, it sucks that we don't have the tripod, because it would have been convenient to just, you guys asked me about one of my tips besides, working with a cameraman who comes in clutch. That, actually last night it was really cool having Albert, have the camera, and so I could just more so talk, and I didn't really need to think about it. So having a cameraman helps. And I actually see the future kind of going to where these networking events have just cameras there, and using just different vantage points and high quality audio, you could just kind of, and using software algorithms to kind of, using pieces of two-dimensional pictures create a three-dimensional environment. So I could just go back to that same event, replay it, like as if it were a virtual reality video. So right, this is just the start. So I kind of see that's where things are going. So imagine
security cameras around here. If we could tap into that footage,
there you go.
And you've got the.
There you go.
So I'm Zach's stunt double.
Amazon today. Google cameras and audio. we set up a GoPro and bullet with what would be a two or three iPhones going.
Yeah, and
we had like one at the bottom at our feet. We had one face level. Then we had the GoPro about 20 feet away. It was a good shot. And then we had an MP3 recorder.
Yeah, we had the and we looked like we had like a whole crew there.
Right,
yeah,
because right, you had all the different shots.
Yeah, yeah, we had all the different shots. So, of us just walking around them from the water taxi.
Amazing, you know, what you can do. Yeah.
So right. I think that, you know, once that's there, then it'll be more of a second thought. And you don't have to like be pulling out your phone to get video. Like the video will just be there. Yeah. Like it'll be an environment that's, you know, just.
The challenge with it is there's a lot of content, a lot of video there. So what I find is going back and just reading through and looking at it can take a long time. So,
yeah, so the,
that's
then,
a real challenge I find. That's why you need something.
Video editors helped a lot with that. And then also like having like the panels, right? So if there's multiple panels going on at once, you know, you can only film one at a time and then, you know, but if I could go back and go into another room or get a different angle or even just step in, like listen in on someone's conversation that was talking, like it'll kind of be like a public environment that is like a content reality. And so that the camera's work will be offloaded because that's not the fun part, right? Like it's fun because it allows me to travel and gets my message out, but it's not fun like holding a camera, like. It's obviously kind of awkward, right? Yeah, yeah. So I think
it's the most job part of the whole thing.
Are you having fun? No, you look like you're having fun.
No, he's
great content. What can I say?
Dude, I appreciate it, man. So
no, that's exactly right. But I think there's been some. I see some commentary about influencer marketing that people are starting to get like tired of it or wise of it or wise up to it that somehow like these people are paid to say this stuff. So I'm wondering whether there's a change there. Particularly, you need to have that authenticity. You can't just be popular. So it's not just about someone who has like a million followers on Instagram. It's got to be someone who's got an authentic message. I think people are going for that authenticity. I think particularly millennials have this. Like, what's your purpose? Like, why are you here? I'm going to listen to you because you have a message. So I think that's I reckon, talk about content marketing, I think that's a key thing about influencer marketing, is to use people that really have authenticity,
trust.
Yeah,
and
people
tell.
Build trust.
People can tell.
Oh, yeah. I think the two.
Would you call someone who's doing just branding for their business, or, you know, maybe they have a firm and they're wanting to put some videos out to kind of create some inbound leads? Would you call them an influencer or?
Everybody influences somebody, right? You could influence one person as a salesperson or as a.
So it's influencing. So that's kind of like the broader term of influencer. But Scott, you think of it as more of like the influencer in the sense that that's your job. That's how you monetize. You're getting brand deals.
Well, I think of it more in terms of scope. So you said somebody who's working at a company and they're talking about their own brand. They're a spokesperson. That's great. Yeah, they should influence people. Yeah. But do you elevate that to some sort of market level? Where you're talking about trends, where you're talking about themes, where you're finding activity that's going on that help people understand that market better, and you're not necessarily tethered to a particular brand, I think that's a different level of influencing that people should aspire to.
About purpose, like if there's a thing you talk about, like I encourage people to really work out like what's their theme. Two questions I ask people. One, what is this thing you do which gives you so much reward and passion that you do it for free? And secondly, what problems do you solve? And when you talk about those two things that really come from the heart, I think the authenticity just flows. And I think if you just talk about that, then there may be a company there as well that's connected to that, but your main piece is this thing that you do. And I think that's the authentic influencer. And I think that is where that'll survive. I think that's got
not new. I mean, of course it's about, you know, it's always been there, right? So people have been kind of shilling for stuff or they're really involved in.
All right, guys, I'm going to turn the camera off here because, you know, it's a little overwhelming sometimes doing both. But, you know, thank you guys for sharing that. I hope you guys are enjoying thus far. And I'm going to enjoy the vessel and the rest of this little meetup. So,
peace.